And the power they took from the people will return to the people, will return to the people.
Let us all unite! Let us fight for the way of greed! Let us fight the free world! Fulfill that promise! Let us all unite!
Welcome, folks, here in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Daniel today in Christian Remedy Law. Daniel, man, I was just contemplating how long I've been doing this now.
How long has it been?
I don't know. It seems like about a year, though, huh?
Yeah, at least. Yeah, at least.
It got to be. It's just, yeah. Wow, it's incredible. Hey, someone in the KW's little group he has on Skype, law agent, they had a really good point, and I don't know if I can put it into words as they have, but the question posed is, what would a man give monetarily, that is, monetarily speaking, for 5 extra minutes to live? That's the question. What would you give in monetary consideration for an extra 5 minutes to live? And the notion here is that your own value, how do I explain this? That is that's your wages for being an agent of the United States. That's your wages for being a citizen and being employed in the artifice. That, I mean, how many 5 minute time periods do you spend working for peanuts, working for dead instruments? Now turn that around and say, how much money would you give if you knew you were going to die in 1 minute? How much would you give for 5 extra minutes to live? I want you to think about that, folks, because how many minutes are you wasting working for some corporation? How many minutes are you actually, how many 5 minute periods are you actually wasting receiving the or your wish of the United States? How much spending as opposed to dead mortgage waste? But if I was could bust because I'm about every that is good if my person anything, what good is any of that if my life is my real existence is about to terminate, possibly for the better, who knows at this point, right? But you know, what would you give for an extra 5 minutes to actually live? And for that matter, what would you do in that extra 5 minutes? The question is, why aren't we acting like we're all going to die in the next? Why aren't we living life as that 5 minutes is going to be up? Is the question I'm trying to hear. What do you say, Daniel?
I think the problem that happens, people believe the world of you up with. And so they feel that the money is real, official, and so they're and they believe so. There are people that actually want it, and not 5 minutes in that mental going on.
It would take long, that long to go through it if that actually saying, crap, I'm not going to be able to use this money. I'm going.
Exactly, and then let's face it. I mean, some of the empires of the past, they believed in taking. Serving them live inside the tombs with them. They placed their gold and their wealth in there with them, believing they could use it in the afterlife, and I guess it didn't happen because the facts were there when you went into the tomb. It was still there.
Yeah, so therefore, it was still there or taken by thieves. Maybe they came back as thieves.
And they ran a whole religious belief in that, and I would just consider that a pyramid scheme.
A pyramid scheme, that's pretty.
They got the father, they got the province as the son, the son got the unholy program as the pact of stupid. And it's the thunderbolt one someone registered.
Well, with the divinity.
So, unfortunately, back at vanity, you shall not take the name of the Lord, your heir system of legal, and you use your feudal lord's surname, and you really don't have a patent right to use it, you get a penalty. You're really using it in vain. Well, it's the same thing when you have your God-given name. It has no power when you're mixing it in, saying you're a pagan at the same time. Because the last thing you said was pagan when you speak that name for the record. Because for the record is public. The other one's private, and it's not their property. So a very crazy thing going on in there, but you can understand how blasphemous that would be to a spiritual source of creation to have a bunch of recreators getting all the worship through these yes. Pagan deity names. How ridiculous is that? Giving, because that's what the Romans preached, that their emperor was God, and he was to be deified and worshiped. And that's why the early Christians were being thrown in the arenas, because they refused to incorporate their God-given name into Caesar, because they'd be saying Caesar is over and above the Christian name. Now, welcome to Black Law, where you can be black and get the black stone instead of the white stone. That's why they have black stone commentary.
Yeah.
Is it? I mean, if they haven't really told us, or we're just not watching. And so Caesarian meant you belong to Caesar. That's originally what it meant. But don't worry about there being a Caesarian section. And they do more of those births, because when you're birthed with that surname, you're born as Caesar's property.
Oh, this burden. This goes to number 5 and also number 7. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, not the sea, the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, I have my opinion of this commandment has certainly changed. It was my transliteration, personally, of this, and to an understanding that this is talking about, literally, about blood, about a genealogy, about holding your mother and your father, your family, above that of the state, above that of any false, you know, or of any attainder, of any corruption of blood that might not recognize your parents as higher than the state, or as God as higher as the state. It says esteem, honor, is esteem, due worth, high. 13:1 says a person is not without honor, by work, funeral honor, military honors of war, etc., etc. These are not really honors, are they? Dignity of your parents, but also the dignity of the blood of the family line, dignity, exalt or place. So when government telling us we're all born equal, well, yeah, that's not talking about being born under God, that's being put into a state of equality under the system of law that they create, which means you're equally punishable, because you're not honoring your family, you're not honoring the blood of your line, dignity, exalted rank or place. You know, it's your reverence is going to the state instead of to the supreme being, instead of to the blood. So it's, you know, I see these things now as quite differently than what I've seen them as before. And of course, if you don't honor your blood and your inheritance right, then your days may not be long upon the land, because you're going to be floating in a legal vessel on the sea of commerce. The Lord thy God giveth thee the land, but government gives you the sea. And that's basically what I'm looking at that. I was, of course, just, you know, we're not saying that it's, you know, I'm not saying it's not respect thy father and mother. It's not don't love. But the lesson to be learned here is that your legitimacy relies on thy father and thy mother, and if you become a son of the nation, you no longer are honoring that blood tie. That's the way I'm interpreting that at this point.
Yeah, and if you take it, you take it in the spiritual sense, the parents were given the spiritual responsibility to morally raise the child from God. The parents do the act of giving a name to a child, not the state. Therefore, the ones running this or this dead state static, vital statistic. It's about we have to see what the meaning here. So the parents bestowed the God-given name on the child because that's given by God from the beginning, that whole position of doing that, and to raise and train them morally with conscience in goodness. So now when the father and mother are being moral and good under that and understanding that, well, then of course they'd be following the Ten Commandments. But in the spiritual sense also, going away a little bit from the physical parents who carry the Spirit of God in them to do the right thing, the spiritual father, okay, is what we talked about last week, which would be Yahweh or Jehovah, which means spiritual, he causes to become. So he is the cause of all life, not man's made-up idea of recreation, entertainment, payment given to a soldier for being dumb, being at war. Then the mother was considered New Jerusalem above, which was the representation of God's spiritual temple. Okay, and we have to use that word temple because, you know, you have a temple on your head and Christ preached you are the temple. We're putting our treasures in a spiritual place. It's not a physical thing that can corrupt and deteriorate. So the mother was New Jerusalem above, which was what some people call the church. I wouldn't use that term because church meant kind of pagan term. It was really congregation or ecclesia. So there you got the mother and the father there on the spiritual sense. And if you go back to number four, which is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy and spiritual, okay, well, we're in God's rest day. He says it after he made man, then he rested. Now, man's at unrest. He's at war. Now, it would definitely make sense those who don't get the spirituality in the Ten Commandments would be at unrest. We even flip the Sabbath day to a Sunday, which is a pagan day. And there's still people believing that Sunday is the Sabbath because they don't do any research. But we're in God's rest day, and man's at unrest, and now I understand why the police officers are pulling people over and bring them to our rest. This is all symbolic.
Well, even the notion of 6 days is a symbolic sort of thing, because, you know, you're talking about the Jubilee, you're talking about the releasing of slaves, and you're talking, you know, the end of debts and all of that stuff, and even the word day is sort of a symbolic thing in that sense. You know, you rest on the seventh day. The point of that Jubilee cycle, that Shemitah cycle, is to get to a point where you are not able to forthwith basically keep debts, keep slaves, and keep all of these things, and everybody has the chance to do the right thing, if you will. It's hard to put into words this notion, but, you know, rest on the seventh day and have a jubilee, etc. It's very, everything's revolved around that number seven, which is, of course, the number of, as I understand it, the number of God.
Right, and perfection. So
perfection.
So it makes sense when it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Holy is spiritual. Spiritual is opposite to temporal or secular.
Right.
So in a sense, when man went into unrest and sinned, he took something evil, he trespassed, he coveted, he stole, he did all the things against all this. He sinned across the whole tent, okay, doing what he did. And then God needed to carve it in stone and give him the Ten Commandments to make sure that he understood. I mean, it was absolutely necessary. Man's journey now had to be, you know, placed in that manner because he had fallen away from spirituality. So right out of the starter's gate. So God, the plan that there was no rent to be paid. You'd have to pay to live. Now we pay to exist or we die. On an artificial currency. And people say, but I got to keep doing it. And I'm going, yeah, I understand it, but we know that the spiritual solution is at our, it's at our fingertips, and we're just about to embark on that. But you have to be down that spiritual journey to get it, because remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, which is spiritual, not to keep it temporal or monetary or godless. So man's running a whole, unfortunately, temporal scene under temporal, secular governments that are destroying the planet based on money.
Well, you know,
and is debt, so you can't get away from it. No wonder you run titles mean debtor.
What's strange
registered
about
in there is a registered debtor.
Yeah, what's strange about the system too, and I'm sure that everybody out there listening has had similar experiences, and I know you've had similar experiences, Daniel. But when you actually do try to, you know, when you actually go into any kind of secular government office, corporation, anything, even, you know, pay your water bill, whatever, and you actually try to act in a spiritual manner, and you try to actually communicate with someone on a spiritual level, you actually are made, I don't know how to explain it, you're actually made to feel guilty for wanting to be reasonable and be soulful and speak from the heart, speak in reality, and it's such a nightmare, it's such an awful feeling, and you go out of some of these places after you have this interaction with these people, these employees who are, you know, getting their benefits from the state by being the little good little servants to the state and screwing over everybody else. You come out of these situations feeling filthy and dirty, like you just threw, you know, you just threw a rock at Goliath or something. I mean, it's a horrible feeling, and it feels like you've done something good. It's really strange feeling. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I'm sure you have.
Yeah, you're in there. I mean, you realize how lost that world is right now. And you feel something when you do reach them. And I think sometimes when we're kind of like saying words that kind of bring a little bit of laughter, because people can laugh at themselves and they learn. And but you do reach people at times. Going out there and speaking, and that's why I love teaching. And it does. There's some kind of it is.